So this is Katie Hunter for MMA UK. I'm here with the one and only Chris Bishgold. Hi, Chris.
Hi, you're okay, Katie?
Really good. Thank you for doing the interview. Really appreciate it. So a brilliant announcement to the UFC Prague card. Really, absolutely buzzing for that one. You're fighting Daniel Tamer.
Yeah.
So tell us. Well, let's start with your last fight because you just mentioned it there to me before we went on air. You said you felt like you've got some making up to do, but you looked amazing in that fight right up until the second you got caught.
Yeah, and I know what you mean. I think it was the UFC jitters, you know, said that a lot of people don't realise. I've been a pro since I was 17. I'm 27 this year, and you know, I've been watching the UFC since I was 13. So I think when I was walking out, I'm normally quite calm and, you know, chilled. And to see all them thousands of people and, you know, think, shit, I'm in Canada here, you know, this is my dream, you know, with my dreams actually happening. I think I put I went in a bit too fast and I got caught slipping, but as you said, I did feel like him. I was totally dominating right up until I got caught. And I'm known to have a good chin on me as well. It was just I got caught and looked at the replay right in the back of the head. And anyone goes down to a shot like that. So, you know, don't get me wrong, it was an amazing experience. But I definitely want to show people. I think I'm definitely in the top 10. So if not top 5, I just need these opportunities. And they give me Timur this time. But then, you know, get him out the way and then start calling people out.
So in terms of the step up from Cage Warriors, would you say it's just the pressure you're putting on yourself and kind of the arena and the fans rather than the step up in, say, caliber of opponent?
Yeah, and no. Like obviously, there's a big step up because you know how many more millions of people are watching the UFC. And, you know, there's people that might not be MMA fans, but they are UFC fans, if that sort of makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of pressure in terms of the people watching, but at the same time, everybody knows the caliber of opponents. So, regardless of whether you win, lose, or draw, to get in the UFC, you've done something right. So, what I mean? So that takes a lot of pressure off. But it was just a shock. Like I said, last time I fought, other than the Kata fight, it was a year before. So
yeah,
against Jacobson, and the time before that was a year before that. So that was me second 2 years. You know, this will be my third fight in 2.5 years. So I haven't been that active. So I think cage jitters and cage nerves going out there in general was quite high. But I'm very good at adapting to situations and adapting in the fight. And I think I know what to expect now. So hopefully I'll be able to go out and show people the skills I've got. You know, last time I fought, oh, he's a striker. Everyone expects me to take him down. Watch out with the strike with them. And, you know, obviously you've always got that thing with the UFC where them bonuses, it's an extra $50,000. You know, when you're having your first couple of fights in the UFC, you know, $50,000 goes a long way. You know, so I think you do tend to, how can you say it? 100 miles an hour, let's go.
Yeah, and I'm sure you want to make a statement as well.
Yeah, definitely. Like, especially because, you know, it's not just that, it's I think the way I've always seen fighting, and I never first seen it like this, but, you know, as I've went along the game and I've got older and, you know, I've got more mature, I realised that, you know, it's the entertainment business and you're only worth as much as people want to watch you. So what would people rather see? And although the knowledge of the ground is getting more and more, you know, for the average person, say to people, what would you rather see? Someone get tucked down and get submitted? Would you rather see someone get knocked out? You know, I think people love the fight. People love people showing heart. People love the blood, don't they? They love to see a fight. That's why you're going there, to see a fight. So I hope I earn some fans with that performance. Like, but for this one, you know, it's also well known in the UFC. If you lose a couple in a row, you're gone. So this one, I'm not sure yet at the moment. I'll see. I've got a game plan in my head, but whether I do it or not, it's when you see all them people and you're walking out, it's, you know what? see what happens on the night, see how I'm feeling that day.
Well, I'm sure you don't want to divulge the game plan to us now anyway, but he's obviously, you, as you said, you know, you lose a couple in the UFC and you're under pressure. He's coming off two losses. Do you think that will make him more dangerous, or do you think it will make him more reckless, you know, wanting to put on a show?
It can do both, really. And I have an interview with him a couple of hours ago with James from Sheardog, and I said the same thing to him. I said, although he's dangerous, he's a striker, and he's 35 wins, 2 losses in Thai boxing and kickboxing. Most of his fights, his early fights, he loves to strike. Obviously, he's a dangerous striker, but this is MMA and there's levels to it. And I really think that I'm just that level above him. And I think it says that on paper. And if you've watched us both fights, people will see that. So, although he is dangerous, he's got one way to win, knocking me out. I've got lots of ways to win. You know, I'm a black belt on the ground. I can stand and bang. I've done 5-round fights before. He's never done a 5-round fight. So I think, he's going to be dangerous. But without sounding too cocky, because I'm just very confident in my skills, whenever I want to put him away, I think I'll have him out of there within the first 3 minutes. If not, it won't go past the first round.
Excellent prediction. Again, I'm going to be consulting my betting app as soon as I get off the phone to you. See if you can earn me some money.
Yeah, to be honest, I don't think the odds would be great for that. You would have bet on the Nakata fight, you might have. The odds were a bit better for me. This one, I'm pretty sure I'll be the favourite coming into this, but, you know, it doesn't matter. It's what's it called? Yeah, if you want to earn some easy money, you might not earn a lot, but you're going to earn.
How does it feel to be the favourite in your second UFC fight? Is that a weird feeling?
Yeah, it is, but at the same time, people had me, I think if you bet £100 in William Hill on Kata for the fight, you got £22, and if you bet £100 on me, you got something like £450 back. So that was more of a shock to me, because I've beat some good people, you know. And so that was more of a shock to me. But to be the favourite, you know, I've beat some good people. So this doesn't surprise me with Timur. Like, his brother, everyone knows David. He got shot on the weekend. David's the better one out of them. And up until David got beat, he'd been beat by one person, Martin Rosek, on the Ultimate Fighter finale.
Yeah.
Martin Rosek's a good friend of mine, but we fought back in 2013. I had no problem with that. I finished them. I TKO'd them in the first two minutes into the second round. So obviously, I said that to James as well. I said, obviously, that probably doesn't mean a fucking thing. But in my head,
MMA maths. Yeah,
in my head, that's big confidence to me. Yeah. Like, I bang someone, I banged out your brother, and now you're going to get done. Do you know what I mean? But yeah, you'll see on the night.
I like that. He's the better one, and I can still take him.
Yeah, that's it. Don't get me wrong, he's come on leaps and bounds, but I'd put on me job. I'm a fighter, I'll fight anyone, and without being cocky, I've always got ways to win. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah. Against anyone, I'll say, yeah, I'll smash you. Yeah, I think you need to think like that. If you're going into the UFC and you're thinking, I might be this level, I might not beat him,
yeah.
I don't think you're gonna get anywhere. You need to feel like you're gonna beat people. You need to drill that into your head, and you can't shy down from any fight. Especially, like I said, you're only worth as much as people want to see you fight. So I'll fight the best. I won't shy away, and I'll come out if need be, and I feel like the odds are against me, I'll come out swinging like I did with Kata. Trying to save a bit of
Who handles your matchups for you? Do you have a management team? And if you told them you'll take anyone, and how do they handle dealing with the UFC?
Yeah, well, I think, to be honest, it's Sean Shelby that matches everybody, and Sean sorts the matches out, and every match he'll give me, I'll never say no, I won't take that. I'll always take that fight there. He gave me Kata on my debut, which obviously everyone said, whoa, that's a major step up. Kata was ranked number 12 before he lost to Moicano, and even that was close. And but you know, if I can't beat them people, I don't deserve to be there. And I know it kills me to say that, because I want to make a good living out of it, but I need to beat them, and if I don't, somebody else deserves, and I'll need to work my way back up, and I'll need to get better at my skills. But I think like I said, I know what to expect now, and I think I'll be there for a long while. I think I'm gonna beat everybody and work my way right up to the very top.
Yeah, and you said you hadn't been pretty active, or hadn't been very active for the last couple of years, but obviously this one's only three, four months after your last fight at UFC Moncton. So how many times would you like to fight this year if you had your way?
100. Yeah, nah.
I'd love that too.
Yeah, no, I want, like I said, Cage Warriors treated me very well, but I've got a real chance to make something of myself, to make a big name myself, earn a lot of money and do well for like me, my girlfriend, my family, Joe, everyone around me. So I need to take full advantage of that, because I'm not going to be 20, like I'm not going to be young forever. You know, you've probably got your peak, let's say, up until you're 35, and then you see it with all fighters, that downward slope. So you're looking at, like, I've got 9-10 years in me where I'll probably be able to be at the top, hopefully 40, 45, but we know that's not going to be realistic. So
yeah,
very short time frame to make as much money as I can and make and build a legacy for myself. So I need to be active as much as possible. I never used to be as active because I didn't think that's an opportunity. It never come, because at one point I was 10-0, and, you know, then I worked my way up, and they come to Liverpool. And I thought, if they don't have me on this one, then they're never going to have me. And I got signed the day before. So now that I know, shit, it's real now. The dream's here. Like, I train with kids in the gym, and, you know, I see lads outside and stuff. And like, oh, that's my dream. I'm there. I need to make the most of it. And I need to be grateful for every chance I've got with this. So I need to, as much as they let me fight, seize it with both hands and give it 110%. Because I don't want to look back 10 years' time, I think. Fuck, I could have had it all, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think you've got that fight style as well that fans fall in love with. Obviously, everyone in the UK knows you really well from Cage Warriors, but it's also the fight style that Dana really appreciates. I could see you doing really well with some of the performance of the night bonuses and stuff like that. I can honestly see you getting a few of them in a row. I think I read somewhere there's only like two or three people who've got two performances, the night bonuses in a row. So
yeah. That's it. Like I said again, I am coming for them as well. Every little count, and you know, the only thing that let me down throughout my career, which everybody's always said to me, is me talking. I don't talk as much. I'll talk in the cage, like fighting wise, but outside I won't be calling people out and that, you know. I'd love to be more of a dickhead, but it wouldn't be me. So yeah, I'll need to come after them performance of the night's air bonuses. Yeah.
Yeah, I think the problem with that is if you're not truly that kind of character, it just comes across really cringy. If people are putting on being a dickhead or putting on calling someone out, it just doesn't really work.
Well, do you know what? Like I said, you've just said there, obviously, I understand it. So when I see people in the cage act like that and online, and then you see them in the queue, to me, I understand why they're doing it, to try and sell themselves. But for the average person, the average fan, you see someone being a dickhead outside or in the cage or being loud, and then you meet them and they're really cool. It's like, wow, you are really nice. But the same way, it takes a bit of that respect. But it's like you're a bit two-faced there, you know what I mean? So you need to be real in every aspect, don't you? And then people know where they stand with you as well. They know what to expect. So yeah, I think I'll do my talking in the cages, and hopefully them bonuses will be coming my way, and you know, my fans, I'll see my followers climb.
Yeah, yeah, get them followers up.
I'm telling you.
So you're still training at Next Gen Liverpool.
Yeah.
Do you train at any other gyms as well?
I train at I'm set with Next Generation, but if I travel on that, I will train at a couple of other gyms. Like, I went to Tom Breeze's about a month
ago.
I've competed against Tom in grappling before, and back in the day, he used to come down with him and Dave Hill and spar me and Danny Roberts. So, I'll go to gyms like that, and you know, I'll go to the odd Thai gym and stuff. But no, I've been with Nick Paul since I was 15. Yeah, I just turned 15. I turned pro with Paul. And he taught me from, you know, a skinny little kid with that had a bit of an ego and too much confidence into your way, into a UFC fighter, and and like former Cage Warriors champion. So I'll always stay with Paul regardless of what happens. So sometimes he wants to kill me, sometimes I want to kill him, but that's the relationship here. We both love each other to bits, and when it comes down to business, we do stuff right, as it's shown. As with Paul, with all those fighters, you know, we have a great team down at Next Generation with all the lads and girls, and it's a great atmosphere down there. You know, you could have never done the sport in your life, walk through the door, and it's just the team. There's no egos, there's no cockiness, you just have a laugh, and the minute you step in that door, you are part of that team, you know. So I like that, what we've got down there. I think we've got something special, yeah.
And would you be up for training at, say, like the UFC Performance Institute if you ever fight in Vegas? That looks pretty cool, the shit they've got there.
I was in my own world. And yeah, of course, I'd never pass that up, you know, I'd love to. You know, they know what they're doing there, and the amount of money they put into it and stuff. I think that is on the cards pretty soon. But, you know, we need to try and get one of them bonuses my next fight before I start planning ahead holidays.
Well, maybe you'll be put on a Vegas card and you can just, like, bring your team out there with you.
Well, that is one of my dreams. I've always, you know, I fought in China, now I've fought in Canada. I want to fight in the Czech Republic. But obviously, you want to go to America, you want to fight in Vegas. That's, you know, to sit back and, like, even tell, you know, your grandkids when I'm an old man, you know, I fought in Vegas. Like, that'd be amazing, wouldn't it? So, yeah, that's definitely, I think that's my next dream now. My next dream, fight in Vegas and a UFC belt, same. I'll die a happy man.
That would be my excuse to go back as well.
Yeah, have you been before, have you?
Yeah. The last time I was there was for Conor Khabib, but I've been a few times now.
I bet you that was wild, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was pretty wild. It was wilder afterwards, I think, than it was in the cage.
That was more entertainment than the fight for some people, weren't it?
The co-main was the best thing about that fight card.
Hopefully I'll get on one of them big ones one day then.
No, that'd be awesome. And an excuse for me to go back for sure. I did have a few questions that came in for you from just fans that DM'd me. One was asking how you handle your nutrition and if you have to cut much. You're looking pretty slim at the moment.
Yeah, I've got this fella called Ben and Jerry, and they I'm really messing. No, I've got a boss fella called if you just check him out online, Macro Chef on Instagram.
Yeah.
I grew up with this lad. He's fought MMA himself, but he was also an amazing chef as well. And then he done little bits on nutrition combined them all together. And he does all the stuff for all the fighters down at our gym. And I started with him my last fight. And the Jacobson fight made lightweight easy. My last time, my featherweight one, that's the easiest cut I've ever had. And yeah, that's thanks down to him. So at Macro Chef, that is on Instagram if anyone wants to check him out. But yeah, don't get me wrong, I don't live like a monk all the time. When I'm not fighting, I will enjoy myself. I'm not one of them that says, oh, you shouldn't eat meat, or you need to eat this, or, you know, I love fat food like the next person. I love ice cream and I love burgers and stuff. But when it's fight time and fight camps, then all it's time to knuckle down, no fucking man. Yeah.
Are you much of a drinker outside of fight camp?
No, you know what, growing up, I used to love to party. You know, I come from a party in City Liverpool, if anyone's ever been here. It's pretty wild when you go out, and growing up, I loved to. And then as I've got older, I'd much rather stay in the house, you know, put a film on with my girlfriend, chill with my dog, just relax, you know, that sort of thing. And because back then I didn't really, I was still young. Like my earlier years, because I turned pro when I was 17, from when I was 15 to 20, 21, I was killing myself. So all them 18th birthday parties and 21 and stuff like that, I missed all them. So when I had that year, I had a year off and never fought for 2 years. When I went up from 22 to 24 or something, I went a bit wild, but that's all in the past now, Joe, what me and him. Yeah, the thought of it really knocks me sick, thinking, fuck, waking up with a hangover the next day.
And the less you do it, the worse the hangovers are.
telling you, I must be getting old, you know, because I can't get out of bed the day after I've had a drink. So that's in the past. Nah, I'm not much of a drinker. If I win a fight, I'll drink. If it's like someone's birthday, I'll drink. But no, no, not like I used to. Not like every weekend, maybe once every 4 months or something.
And is beer your drink of choice?
No, it's spirits actually. Yeah, I thought, yeah. My girlfriend's whispering cocktails. No, I do like gin and I like vodka, but like you said, I think the hangover's a little bit worse with that, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Banging headache.
I'm not free when I've got a hangover either.
So somebody else has asked what your best fight was and what your hardest fight has been.
I'd say my best fight was probably the Marcin Rosek fight or the Jacobson fight, just because Marcin Rosek went on to fight in the UFC after our fight. I fought in 2013, and he's beat some really good people. He went on to be the KSW champ. Check it out on UFC Fight Pass. I absolutely smashed him from start to finish, and we've turned out to be really good friends. And to look at the way I did that, you know, I think I would, that was really... I got a lot out of that, Joe. It meant a lot. And then because I'd been out for a year, and a lot of people, for one reason or another, were saying, oh, I'm finished and stuff like this, and he's not going to. And I went out, and I don't think I got touched in that fight. I totally ran through him.
And that was amazing, that fight.
And me and Jacobson, believe it or not, we're good friends now. And then the fight after, I beat him. I cornered him when he fought a lad from my city. So that meant a lot to me as well, Joe. It's not just about the fight, it's a gentleman's sport. And
you make friends with whoever you beat up then?
Sometimes, don't get me wrong, there's the odd dickhead that, you know, I'd still love to punch the red in, but...
name someone.
Oh, no, I couldn't name them on camera. I'll end up getting into shit and arguing all night, losing sleep. You'll end up... for me. No, I'm not going to name them.
Tell us.
Maybe next time. No, with Jacobson and Marcin Rosek and Andy Devance, like they all become really good friends. So, you know, I do like that. You know, I'm making friends that with like minded people. And obviously, if you beat someone, you always want them to do well. So, it's in your best interest too if you can go and train with them, help them get better. And that's it. My hardest fight, I'd say. In the BT Studios, coming up to that fight, we'd fought 6 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Me and Paddy, I don't anymore, neither does Paddy, but we ballooned up. And I think it was weighing like 86kg or something. And then I got a phone call saying, oh, yeah, do you want to fight in 5.5 weeks in the BT Studios? So I was like, this was my money went up a little bit. So it made sense to do it. It was in the BT Studios and they were getting me an international opponent. So I was like, fuck yeah. Me and Paddy killed ourselves. You know, I think I was crying in the sauna in London. managed to get off, managed to make the weight. Then I went into, there was a couple of stuff going on at the time. So just with like, let's say out of the cage. And then I went into that fight and I felt dead after one round. I thought my head just went there. You know, we rushed into that one too quick.
Yeah.
I lost the first round. I won the middle three by just grinding it out. And then I lost the last round. But the last round, you know, he split my eye in three places. So there was a lot of blood. And he had the choke in at one point. And I got out the cage. I remember walking out. I was literally dazed. He never even tried to do an interview with me because I just couldn't speak. Went backstage. I remember sitting down, my head spinning, I threw up.
Oh.
I think I woke up in the Royal London thinking, wow, how did I get here? And you were like, oh, you thought you had something wrong with you. You thought you might have had a bleed on your brain. You damaged your eye. And that was by far the hardest fight. But I made it hard for myself. You know, I shouldn't have been fat after the fight camp and being a little pig and just stuff my face. But you learn from your mistakes. It doesn't happen anymore. That was by far my hardest.
In fact, how much do you normally go up between camps now? Or what's your normal walk away round weight, or don't you like to say?
Oh no, it's fluctuated from when I was young. I started when I first started the sport. I used to walk around 70 kilo, yeah. Then after my first two amateur fights, well, semi-pro back then, I done a featherweight fight. I was around 74, but I was still growing. Remember?
Yeah.
Then I started lifting. I think I fought a lad called Phil Flynn, and that was my second pro fight. In the space of walking around 74, I went up to like 82 with lifting. But I wasn't fat either. I just looked big. And then after a couple, two or three lightweight fights, I thought, fuck it, let's go down again. Yeah. Walked around 78, cut to 77, cut to 66. And then there was a time, I think it's when, after I went out to Asia, fought at 68. And then when I come back, I was walking around on average around in between 80 and 85 and cutting to 70. Now, like I said, the head's in the right place. You know, everything is focused on this sport. I think after that fight, I went up to 77. 78. I never really look fat anymore, you know. I always train even after a fourth, you know. So yeah, now I was 78 a couple of days ago. I think I was 73 today. So, you know, 7 kilo, that's for all, you know. You do that in your sleep for a fight, do it in a week. So I'm in a good place now.
That's awesome. And then one final question from someone was about the UFC going to Liverpool, and how gutted you must have been not to be on the card, although it's kind of the other emotion because you got signed right before it happened. So were you feeling like it wasn't going to happen? And how did that all come about?
You know, like I said, I thought it's got to happen here. Molly got signed from the gym, and
yeah,
Molly's a great girl. But I've been fighting a long time. I think I haven't fought until I was 17. I was still the 17-1. So I thought, if it's not happening now, it's never gonna happen. And I sort of just put everything on the card. You know, you start. I think at one point I was even looking to go in the army, where I just, yeah, I was looking, I'm not fighting it again. I was looking on here joining up to the army and just swearing it. And the day before, Graham got me and my girlfriend to go to a hotel to speak about sponsors. We had the Titanic Hotel, and I went there. And he's holding up, it's on my Instagram, if anyone wants to check it out, he's holding up pieces of paper, and it says, this is one for ISO Sports, so I'm holding it up. And then he says, and now you need to hold this one up. And I read it, and it said, congratulations, Chris Fishgolden, UFC. And my head never clicked. And then when it clicked, I just burst out in tears. It was quite emotional for me. My girlfriend was crying. It was really a long time coming. That's one of the happiest moments in my life. Tomorrow, I accomplished my main thing I was set out to do, which is getting the UFC. Obviously, I want the belt now, but if I die tomorrow, I'd still die happy. Not many people can say, you know, people spend their whole life chasing the dreams and they never get anywhere near. And I managed to get mine before I turned 26, so 2 months before my 26th birthday. So that, I'm very pleased with that. I'm proud of myself about that.
You should be. And I'm sure you'd love the UFC to go back to the Echo, but where else is on your bucket list of places you'd like to fight? I know you said you've already fought in China, and you mentioned Vegas earlier, but is there anywhere else?
Australia, just joined us. My friend there, he has a Next Generation here, Australia, near Perth. And I went out there and trained with him a bit, and I'd like to fight there, you know, with sunny weather and that, but... Yeah, to be honest, anywhere, like, I love England and I love fighting here, and obviously I'm from here, but I got into this to see the world as well. And
yeah,
already in 6 months, I've been to Canada and then here. You know, it's a great life. I'm very happy with the way it is. So just, I don't know, let me just tick countries off my list, and I'll fight anyone as long as they can keep sending me places.
Have you been to Prague before?
No, never. I've heard crazy things, though.
I've never been either. I'm really looking forward to it.
Should be good. Should be good. I heard that it's sold out as well, Joe, with the actual tickets are sold out. So I'm looking forward to just walking out to a big crowd, making sure I don't lose the plot again and come out swinging. I need to stay composed this time.
Finally, before I let you go, I just wondered if you wanted to give any shout outs to sponsors and stuff. And also, I wondered if you've got any predictions for like youngsters at your gym that we should be looking out for in the next few years.
I'll just say a big one. Obviously, a big shout to my girlfriend, my mum, you know, my dad, my brothers, and everyone at the gym, all the team back at the gym, and my girlfriend's mum and dad as well. They've done a lot for me the past year. They're always doing a lot. I can't thank them enough. And me sponsors, Macro Chef, ISO Sports, and Scramble. They've been amazing to me as well. They've got me through this fight camp. Predictions for people in our gym. To be honest, I'd say all of them in our gym. You don't understand. Like back in the day, I used to be able to, you could maybe not have a good night's sleep and go in, and you could win every round. Now, I'm getting fucking sparring day. I'm getting 10 hours sleep. I'm getting good food in me. Because if I don't come in, these young kids now, when you're talking 15, 16, 17, 18, they'll fucking beat you up, Joe. They'll make me feel old. I'm 26 years old. So I reckon, you know, all of them. Paul has a good, Paul's teachings, you know, the best in the world, in my opinion. That's why I'm there. And it shows with his fighters. He makes his fighters from scratch. He's never stole a single fighter unless they come to him. All his fighters he's made from scratch. Me, Paddy, Molly, Ellis, Adam Ventry, Adam Wilson, all the amateurs. So I think you need to watch out for all of them. I do think within the next 5 years, we'll have maybe 5, 6, 7, 8 lads in the UFC. So, and girls. So, yeah, it's good. There's my predictions. You fight someone from our team, you're getting fucked.
That's why they won't be able to get any matchups.
Yeah, that's it. Hard enough now, you know.
Well, brilliant. Thank you so much for your time. I think we're all looking forward to seeing you on the fight card at UFC Prague versus Daniel Tamer. So best of luck. I will see you there. I should be right down the front. So thanks so much for your time.
Thank you. Thank you for taking the time to talk to me. It's been a pleasure.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.